It is July 11th, 2017, and Vindanity is back! We've been away for a little while, and while we were gone, a lot happened in Minnesota sports. But it's a special occasion. It's a celebration, as they might say. We're back at it here in the middle of the summer, back here in the old studios. I got a haircut for this show.
Whoa!
Vince has started his real estate empire. There's a lot to catch up on.
There's so much happening. The state as a whole.
How's life in Inver Grove Heights, Vince?
It's very grovey and Heidi.
Is it? How's it Invery? How does the Inver factor in that?
I'm not quite sure. I feel like it's...
Do we know what Inver is?
I don't know. That's what I... It just occurred to me.
A grove of Invers?
Yeah, Inver... Well, there's Inver wood, too. So is it Inver... Is that a type of tree? Should we know this?
Do we know this?
That's a research project.
Yes.
Yeah.
Podcast.
An unexpected research project I never thought I'd take on.
But how's it going?
Oh, you know...
You like the house?
Oh, yeah.
Little known fact to our listeners, we have not seen Vince in like 4 months.
I've basically been in a coma this whole time and found out that the Timberwolves acquired...
Found out that you bought a new house.
Found out I bought a new house.
That would be a strange way to wake up from a coma. Oh, crap.
Welcome home.
The Timberwolves acquired Jimmy Butler...
Well, yeah, we got to back up quite a ways here. I think the last time we did this was a wild playoff preview, wasn't
the
it?
I just checked because the name of the last podcast was Twins Hot Start and Wild's Hot End.
That was an interesting name for the podcast.
Thank you.
The Wild apparently were farting or something before their playoff, and then they kind of went out with a very quiet fart.
Yeah, kind of a squeaker.
But, yeah, it was not much of a wild playoff run. We're certainly not going to go into detail all that way back. But I guess, we can kind of just do a check-in on the four teams. Then I guess you would stand to reason things would have happened in a three-month span. But, Vikings had their draft, didn't have a first-round pick, not a lot out of that. Timberwolves have obviously had the draft and free agency, same thing for the Wild after their quick playoff exit. Twins hanging in there now at the All-Star break, All-Star game today. So I guess we could maybe just kind of go in order of what's been the most interesting offseason, or the most interesting last 3 months. I guess it's been the season for the Twins. But, I'd say for the Minnesota teams, that honor would have to go to the Timberwolves for most interesting, which isn't usually the case. But it's been a lot of news in Timberwolves land here over the last, I guess, really the last month or so now.
It's been interesting for me because I would say 3 years ago, really didn't know much about the NBA in general, especially not about the Wolves. Like, I knew LeBron James and the big stars. And, like, this year, I was actually super interested in, like, where guys were going, moves, trades, mm-hmm. salary caps. It's once you dive into it, it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, and they've done a very good job now of kind of marketing the free agency time. It's almost like another little mini season, and you have people that get almost as excited about that as they do the regular season, especially if your team isn't all that good.
It's gotten crazy. Like, it's up there. It's caught up to NFL free agency, and mm-hmm. in some ways is probably more exciting.
Well, it's more likely for bigger stars to move, I think, than it is in the NFL. And the NFL's never had a lot of trades and...
It seems like it's a really interesting time in the NBA, too, because the salaries are just getting so ridiculous.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I don't know how into salary cap mechanics we want to get.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you basically had a strange situation of you had a new TV contract, which flooded a bunch of money in the system, so the salary cap jumped up 1 year, and I guess this is an American tradition. Everyone had short-term excitement and no long-term planning with an influx of cash. And so everyone just decided, oh, yeah, these salary cap will just keep jumping up every year since it did this year. And spent a lot of money, and now a lot of those contracts don't look very good because, lo and behold, they didn't get a huge jump every single year. So
I just think
it feels good to spend money.
Yeah.
So.
It's really cool, like James Harden, I saw in his contract, like the 20 ways down the road, but like the 22-23 season, like he will be making over $500,000 a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah,
baseball contracts have been like that, but
it's pretty awesome.
it's jumping way up, and it has created an interesting kind of dynamic, because basically you had a situation last year where every team in the league essentially had salary cap space. This year there wasn't as much to go around, so I think players that entered the market this year didn't necessarily get quite as much money as they thought. Very few teams are going to have salary cap space next year, and Timberwolves won't really have any either. But, yeah, and it's going to, you know, kind of create weird situations where guys that so happen to be a free agent in 2016 are going to be the highest paid player on their team, even if they don't necessarily deserve that. But, yeah, it'll be strange for a few years, but it does kind of play into what the Timberwolves did this year, and I don't know, you know, how much of that people knew going in, but they kind of, you know, they've spent a lot of money, and, you know, we can get into it a little bit if they made the best decisions each step along the way, but they kind of had to do something this year. You know, yes. They're going to have to pay Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, they certainly will want to, and kind of were in a use-it-or-lose-it situation with their cap space, so they went ahead and used it.
Now, is it true if you don't use it, you lose it?
That
as
is
far
true.
As cap space goes?
That's how cap space works. But yeah, no, that's, you know, sort of where they were at. And but it's been a shift in strategy for them. I think we were all, you know, the big headlining move, obviously, I think everybody knows at this point, was the Jimmy Butler trade for Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn. And but it was something, you know, you can go back in our archives, and this was rumored last year. And I think at the time we were all kind of against it, even if it was for Zach LaVine, and there was a little more excitement on Zach LaVine at that point. I think, you know, there was a sense of wanting to let this young group grow together, see what they had. And I think smartly they kind of did that last year and just observed. And certainly it got altered a little bit by LaVine getting hurt. But I think you saw enough struggles last year. The team didn't maybe take quite the step forward people expected, would have hoped, and to where you really could have felt comfortable giving LaVine a maximum contract along with Wiggins and Towns and sort of locking into that being your team. Not sure how well that would have worked. So I think it put them in a position where, you know, they kind of had to move on from LaVine, and I certainly didn't think, especially after he got hurt, you could get a player like Jimmy Butler for him, but it worked out.
That's exactly what we said, because I remember that conversation we were talking about the Jimmy Butler trade, and it was kind of like, yeah, he's pretty good, but, like, it's kind of fun having LaVine around. And then after LaVine got hurt, we were all like, oh, shit, that would have been really nice if they could have got that for him. Like, they'll never get that now.
Yeah,
and then somehow they...
It's a pretty big swing, and a big emotional swing, where, like, I think there's still a lot of optimism around LaVine last year and what, like, LaVine could potentially bring. And it wasn't that he didn't show a lot of potential, but I think just the uncertainty around that knee injury and everything, somehow we went from, you know, where we would have understood the trade but maybe not been that excited about it, even though it would have been a really good trade still, to being, like, super pumped about it and, you know, being like, oh, yeah, fuck LaVine, like, we just got Jimmy Butler. I can't believe we had to give up so little for Jimmy Butler.
So that's, I mean, that's the most amazing thing to me about the whole trade, and maybe you guys have more insight than I do, but, like, I don't get it from Chicago's perspective. Like, did the Timberwolves pull a fast one, or what am I missing in this?
It looked like it at first. I will say, I think there's just a lot of worry amongst teams acquiring players that can leave in a year or two, or in a year or two in free agency. At first glance, that's certainly what I thought, and I still think it's a great trade for the Timberwolves. But you look at the other two, you know, all-star level players that have been traded recently. DeMarcus Cousins got traded to New Orleans for a package headed by Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield was okay in the second half of the year last year for Sacramento, but he's not a great prospect. You know, he's got a year less on his contract, but Indiana got Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis for Paul George.
Yeah.
So it's not – the returns haven't been great for these all-star level players in trades. I still – you know, if I were Chicago, I don't know if I would have done that, but I guess – you know, they had another year to figure it out, but if they just felt like there was no way they were keeping Jimmy Butler, they like Zach LaVine. I think the biggest thing for me is they were more excited about Lauri Markkanen than I certainly would have been. I didn't want the Timberwolves to draft him. I think they're excited about getting that draft pick. But no, I mean, I think it's probably a fair return given what other teams have been giving up in those. I was surprised that they gave the Timberwolves a first-round pick as well, like swap their first-round picks. But no, I mean, it's a good trade for the Wolves, and it obviously is a huge step back for Chicago, but I don't know that they would have gotten a ton more from other teams.
So how long did Butler have on his contract with Chicago?
He has 2 years left.
2 years. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe they're just thinking, he's going to leave. We don't want to pay him in 2 years. We're not going to win the championship in the next 2 years. Let's get some.
Yeah, they want to start a rebuild, and they obviously seem to be pretty high on LaVine and Chris Dunn. You know, they were – Chicago would have done that deal last year. It was the Timberwolves that backed out of it. So, you know, I guess after watching the Wolves last year, I maybe disagree with them on their evaluation of those players, but we'll see. And you know, I think part of it, too – as you got to watch them more last year, even before LaVine got hurt, basketball especially, because you're so dependent on your teammates on the floor, team fit becomes a big factor. And you can't necessarily just look at it like you're constructing a fantasy team and, you know, this guy's good. You do have to consider the situation. I think LaVine in the right situation can put up nice numbers with his lack of defense. I don't know that, you know, if he's your best player, you're ever going to win a whole lot of games.
Yeah.
But I think it became apparent with Wiggins not being quite there defensively, Towns struggling on that end, maybe those two are going to get better, but it just, those three as a group weren't necessarily going to work. It doesn't mean LaVine can't have success somewhere else, but he probably wasn't the best fit for what the Timberwolves needed.
And Jimmy Butler's a pretty reputable defender, right?
Like, oh, yeah. He's considered one of the better, you know, an all-defense level defender, yeah.
And is he, do you think just having him on the roster will elevate Wiggins and Towns, you know, just the overall?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely raises the talent they have in that group. I think he can help Wiggins defensively. I think, you know, Wiggins, like, on-off numbers defensively were terrible last year, some of the worst in the league. But I think, you know, he had that guard, the best wing player on every team. So Wiggins had to guard LeBron and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And those guys are just a lot bigger than he is and stronger. And it's a tough guard for him. Now Jimmy Butler can guard those players and Wiggins can guard, you know, the secondary wing player. So I think the hope is then, you know, Butler holds his own against those guys and Wiggins looks better guarding players that aren't quite as good.
And offensively, what are we kind of expecting?
Well, and that's their issue, and I mean that can maybe transition a little bit to the Rubio trade, but it did create a little bit of a tough dynamic offensively in that he has a somewhat similar style to Wiggins. They're both kind of guys that like to slash to the basket, draw a lot of fouls, average shooters, not necessarily, you know, elite outside shooting. So they are gonna not have the greatest shooting on the floor with that starting unit, but you know, I think that's why they wanted to try to upgrade the shooting at point guard, and I think there's some disagreement as to how well they did that, but I think that was a big part of the reason why they ultimately wanted to move on from Ricky Rubio.
I suppose, yeah, if you guys want to get into that Rubio trade, I guess the one thing that I liked in the brief moments that we had Rubio at point guard with Butler and Wiggins and Towns, I felt like everybody who wanted the ball was going to get it pretty equally. And that's just not something I know about Jeff Teague.
Yeah, Teague has a little more of a scoring mentality, so that could be somewhat of a concern. You know, are you going to distribute the shots? Is Wiggins, you know, a player like Wiggins is effective when he's not getting 20 shots a game necessarily.
Yeah.
I guess maybe the best way to frame it rather than go through each move individually is I got the sense anyways just from fan reaction, everybody was super fired up about the Butler trade.
Yes.
You know, big rally at the Mall of America. I don't think there was any way to dispute the merits of that trade. You're bringing in an all-star caliber player, guys that may not have been part of the future anyways, going back to Chicago for him. But I do get the sense that people have been lukewarm to a little disappointed since then, to the point where I think I get the sense a lot of people think they had an unsuccessful offseason. Now, where do you guys fall into
that?
It's
really been interesting because last season, if you would have asked everyone, who do you like better, LaVine or Rubio, I think 8 out of 10 say LaVine. And but then when both guys leave, it's almost like, oh, I sure wish we had Rubio back. I don't know. Maybe he just had those elements of his game that it was easy to be like, oh, we should, you know, they shouldn't be leaving the point guard wide open when he has the ball. And I don't know. I do feel like most fans will look at it and say that was a successful offseason. It's just kind of unfortunate that those trades didn't happen in reverse order. Like, they would have gotten rid of Rubio, and then Butler would have been the last signing. Then I think everyone would kind of be more excited about it.
Yeah, I think it's I think the Rubio thing I found initially a little disappointing, but then and I think the reason is if Rubio had flip-flopped his season and had a really, you know, really great beginning of the season and then declined down the stretch, this would have been a lot easier to take. But I thought he was playing the best basketball of his career at the end of the season. And you know, there's some recency bias there where you think, like, he can continue that trend into next season. And so I just was kind of excited to see what he was going to do with that, you know, upgrade in Butler. And then I also he's a pretty good defender, and so I kind of was thinking that just overall their defense would improve. But then, you know, on the flip side of that is that, you know, there's always been blips where, you know, Rubio's had stretches where his shooting has looked better and then he goes back to being terrible.
Yeah.
And he really is just an awful shooter, and he career-wise has never been able to finish by the rim. And so maybe some of that frustration that we experienced with him kind of late in games over the years is we're going to experience less of that with the trade-off of, you know, maybe missing some of the dazzling.
Yeah, and that's been the thought on Rubio, is that, you know, really for the past 3 or 4 years they've been terrible in close games and struggled in the fourth quarter. And what we'll find out this year, I guess, whether there's truth to this or not, but part of the question has always been, is that because offensively you're essentially playing 4-on-5?
Yeah.
These teams don't guard Rubio, and they struggle to score at the end of games. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you brought up Vince's finishing at the rim, and I honestly think that's probably a bigger factor for Thibodeau than even his three-point shooting. You know, he's mentioned a lot kind of in his comments now since they brought in Teague about how excited he is to run pick and roll with Teague and use Towns and Wiggins and Butler in those roles. And Rubio has always just been, as you said, very bad with layups and shooting along the rim. So when you have a guy handling the ball in those situations that isn't a great shooter, can't finish around the basket, it, you know, again, we're getting a little in depth here, but it becomes very hard to run like a pick and roll because teams just back off the pick. They're not worried about Rubio hurting them, so it kind of affects your spacing and your ability to get to the basket with a pick and roll. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's probably what they're looking at offensively. Rubio is definitely a better defender than Teague. I think part of it, honestly, is with the fan reaction, there's just been so few bright spots. You know, you've got a 13-year playoff drought. There haven't been a lot of signature players in that run. You know, when you've had somebody like Kevin Love, there was always the sense that Love didn't really want to be here. It was always a countdown clock to when he was going to leave. Rubio at least seemed like he liked it here. He kind of liked being a part of this organization. Even if he wasn't an all-star level player, he was fun. You know, he was somewhat famous from his time in the Olympics in Spain. And I think people just got very attached to him. And plus, he's always been a fun player to kind of try to figure out, because, like, when you get to the end of it, he was pretty average, but it was just done in a weird way because he was, like, one of the best in the league defensively in passing, and then one of the worst in the league with his scoring. It was just a very weird way of getting to being an average player.
Yeah, and he always, it always felt like he could become like a Jason Kidd, where Jason Kidd really struggled early in his career at shooting and then eventually became an average shooter. But, you know, there's probably problems with that comparison, but it always felt like he was so good at everything else that mm-hmm. he could figure it out, and so that's,
and you can't rule it out. He is only 26 still. I I would have trouble trusting the last month or two of the year when he shot better. I think that can be comparable to, you know, an average hitting baseball player that hits a bunch of home runs in a month. You can kind of have random blips that don't necessarily mean anything going forward. And as you said, Vince, he's had stretches like that before. So,
well, that's also interesting, because just that you mentioned baseball, because I was going to just ask, is any of the Rubio fascination like a little bit of like Matt Tolbert syndrome? Is it like that's who I would be if I was in the NBA? Because it's hard for me to say, like, if I was better at basketball, I'd be like Carl Anthony Towns, because I'm not enormous. But, like, you know.
Yeah, Rubio was always funny that way, because he was always like, oh, he's the little cute guy, and he was, like, 6'4".
Right.
But, yeah, there's maybe some of that. I mean, you know, we can say, too, he's a good-looking guy. I think a lot of that was on the female side of things was, you know, our mom and sister were a lot more upset about him leaving than certain people I mentioned. So I think that probably factored into things a little bit too. But no, I mean,
well, genuinely, I guess there's really nobody on the Timberwolves right now that you'd been like, oh, he seems like a real jerk. But like Rubio,
no,
just
he always
very
seemed like
genuinely
a good
guy. Nice
guy. And yeah, I liked having him around. I would have been fine if they kept him. I understand what they're doing. I think, you know, as I kind of look through their offseason, you can kind of take it in three stages. They had the Butler trade, the point guard swap, and then kind of how they filled out the rest of their cap room with Taj Gibson and now it sounds like Jamal Crawford too. I was, you know, very excited about the Butler thing. Think that's a slam dunk, you know, see how it works out. But yeah, good basketball metaphor there. But no, I mean, I think you certainly can't argue with the logic there. Rubio has a little more lukewarm on. I've never been the biggest fan of Jeff Teague's game. I mean, I will say, too, part of the issue with Rubio, people are always like, well, when you get to the playoffs, teams won't guard him when they game plan for the Wolves. I remember watching, you know, I didn't watch a ton of Atlanta Hawks, but I remember watching some of their playoff games.
Yeah.
People did the same thing to Jeff Teague.
See,
except Jeff Teague is an average three-point shooter.
And I think that's what happened, is that it just, on paper, or no matter how you looked at it, it just didn't seem like it was that much of an improvement.
No, I guess I said this to Vince a couple days ago. If I were starting a team from scratch, I'd pick Rubio before I'd pick Teague.
Yeah.
I think, though, with the rest of their roster, we'll see. I could go either way on it. I can understand why you would say Teague would be a better fit. I get it. And you hope, you know, his shooting was a little down last year. You hope it ticks back up again. But, yeah, I mean, I think part of it, too, was, you know, there had been some rumors about Kyle Lowry. Like, they trade Rubio right before free agency started. So you knew at that point, like, they're not supposed to have an agreement at that point, but everybody talks before the start of free agency.
Yeah.
You knew they wouldn't have traded Rubio unless they had somebody. So I think there was that, like, brief couple-hour period. I did it, too, where, like, wow, they just got Kyle Lowry, and like now they're going to have four all-stars. This is going to be amazing. And, you know, Jeff Teague isn't quite as exciting. Kyle Lowry would have used up, like, all of their cap space, and he's a couple years older. So there's logic to getting Teague. But, no, so I could go either way on that. I ultimately am okay with it. I probably would have done the Gibson-Jamal Crawford thing a little bit differently. I'm not as concerned as some people are about, oh, Thibodeau just wants his Chicago guys.
The band's getting back together?
Yeah, I heard that like 500 times. We've got to come up with a new way of saying, like, we're reuniting people from our past. There's got to be another way to express that sentiment.
I don't think Tom Thibodeau's ever played an instrument.
I would doubt it. He could sing a mean baritone.
Yeah.
He's got a very low voice. But he probably wouldn't have a lot of vocal range. But, yeah, no, I mean, I think ultimately when you see what other people sign for, they probably overpaid Taj Gibson a little bit. You know, I know there was some disappointment they couldn't bring in a guy like CJ Miles, which I wanted them to get CJ Miles too. I think there's been now because they didn't get him, people are acting like CJ Miles is like the greatest player ever.
So what happened with that? Is there still, because I heard that they were messing around with Cole Aldridge's cap space.
Well, he signed with Toronto now. Apparently, there were reports out that they had an agreement with Indiana to get him via a sign-and-trade. They needed to get rid of Cole Aldridge's contract to have the money to sign him. And they didn't want to attach a first round pick to that, basically. They would have had to attach the pick that they got for Rubio. Because they don't have their own pick from the wonderful Adrian Payne trade a couple years ago. But no, so they, you know, they decided not to go that direction. When you look at what those players got, you probably could have signed C.J. Miles and a Jamal Crawford type for the money they gave Taj Gibson, and then used that $4 or $5 million they spent on Crawford to get a defensive big man that might not have been Taj Gibson, that probably would have been pretty similar. So I maybe would have rather seen them go that route, but I think at a certain point, you've got to just say, they improved this offseason. They haven't made the playoffs in 13 years. They're on a good track to that. I get that when you have Towns and Wiggins, you want the ultimate goal to be winning a championship. We'll see if they can get to that level. But for now, let's just take the first step. You got to make the playoffs first. I'm not going to lose my mind over guys that are like the seventh and eighth men on the roster.
The other thing that I'm just thinking is like, I was like giddy when we figured out they were getting Tom Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the idea of, like, a great basketball mind and some really good players. So, you know, last season they didn't win as many games as we would have hoped, but, like, I still have a lot of faith that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and the thing is, I was pretty much of the mindset, when you see how the other teams in the West improved, I don't know how it would have worked out, but they had, like, over 20 games last year where they had a double-digit lead and lost.
Yeah.
That's really hard to do. Like, they were going to get better no matter what, and now they've made these upgrades. They should be a lot of fun. And look, yeah, maybe 4 or 5 years down the road, they're going to be like the Wild, where they can't get out of the first and second round of the playoffs. We're going to be frustrated with them. But again, let's just make the playoffs first, enjoy that, and we'll see. It's very hard to win a championship in the NBA. So, like, if you're going to consider it a failure if the team isn't championship caliber, you almost might as well stop following it, unless you live in San Francisco.
You know, not to just, like, discredit everything that we just discussed, but these things all do seem like things that in, like, a couple years we'll be like, I can't believe we were, like, talking about the Jeff Teague dip, like, Rubio versus Jeff Teague. It just feels like they'll transcend beyond that.
Yeah, their future doesn't depend on Jeff Teague. I think that's the other thing to remember, too, and I've forgotten about it. Like, it's exciting when you're bringing in people from outside the organization. And, hey, it's new faces. I haven't seen that guy before. Ultimately, they're going to be as good as Karl-Anthony Towns allows them to be. He's still the whole key to the thing. And if Towns and Wiggins stay about where they're at now, then, yeah, they're probably a team that wins about 45 to 50 games, makes the playoffs, doesn't do much there. If Towns, who probably is more likely to do this than Wiggins, becomes an MVP-level player, then you have something.
Yeah.
Probably a championship caliber team. So ultimately, I think it depends more on that than anything else.
Well, it's very exciting.
It sure is.
Exciting off seasons. Really, you know, we can maybe go quickly through some of the other teams. It hasn't been as exciting of an off season for the Wild.
Who's going to Vegas?
Arikala.
Oh.
No more Arikala. No more Alex Tuck. Or Jason Pominville. He's going to bring his drunk ass to Buffalo. Marco Scandella heading to Buffalo as well.
Wow, I admittedly did not know that.
Yeah.
How did they get rid of Pominville?
Well, that
by
was...
trading Scandella. Buffalo wanted Scandella, and they attached Pominville's contract.
And who did they get? They got somebody that...
Tyler Ennis and Marcus Foligno, baby!
Yeah, okay. I'll admit, like, I got the texts about the big Taj Gibson signing and then Wild making big moves. And then I was like, I think I've heard of Tyler Ennis, but that was...
So do you think that conversation really went like, hey, we want Scandella. All right, well, you got to take Pominville.
I mean, I think that's part of it. Yeah, they wanted to clear out their salary cap space. He had a no-trade clause, and they could trade him to Buffalo, though, with that clause. Yeah, I don't know. They need, basically, though, the problem is, like, the Timberwolves were clearing cap space to sign people. The Wild are so up against the cap, they just needed to clear cap space to bring back Granlund and Niederreiter. So it's not quite as exciting. But
I don't know. I mean, the only thing I could really take away with the Wild and going into next season is, like, no one thought Nashville was going to be playing in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So... I don't
feel like they played over their heads last year, but I am just sort of getting that way with hockey, and it sort of doesn't lend itself to what we're doing here on this podcast. Yeah. But, like, when you look at their division, like, Chicago stayed pretty steady, but, like, you had Dallas randomly win it 1 year.
Yeah.
Colorado randomly won it that 1 year. Nashville didn't win it this year, but, yeah, like you said, they went to the Stanley Cup finals. Like, I kind of just feel like be good enough to make the playoffs in hockey and then flip a coin 60 times and maybe you'll call it right enough times to make the finals. Like, it just, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of rhyme or reason.
So, like, yesterday was the Home Run Derby. I made a bracket for the Home Run Derby. My bracket I made for the Home Run Derby was significantly better than my NHL playoff bracket.
Yeah.
And, like, I knew a lot more about the teams playing in the playoffs.
Yeah, it does seem to be very luck-based. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see what they, you know, they should still be fun enough, I guess.
Yeah, hockey's good.
I like hockey. They changed their uniforms a little bit.
Added
a white stripe.
And God, what a year for new uniforms. Like, are we just going to have, like, that would probably be the worst podcast ever if we just, like, talked about how much we liked the new Wolves jerseys.
Good news for Dick's Sporting Goods. People going to be going there and buying some new apparel.
So do you guys like that blue color in there? I don't know if I like it.
Yeah.
What's a white, what were the White Stripe songs? I was thinking about the Wild adding a white stripe.
Oh, Seven Nation Army.
Oh, yeah, that's...
I'm going to Wichita!
The only one ever to sing about going to Wichita.
Yeah, we went to... We drove through Wichita.
Hell yeah!
We missed an opportunity there. We did not sing that.
I feel like... Well, I feel like it came up.
I feel like when we saw a sign, like, Wichita 45 miles, we were all like, I'm going to Wichita!
Because then you can mix in the planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yeah.
I'm in Wichita. Wichita, Kansas? No, the other five states that have a town named Wichita.
It's such a common name.
Yeah.
Wichita, Kansas.
That about sums up how exciting the Wild have been. Wichita, Kansas talk.
It took us like 5 minutes to get to Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah, somehow that didn't happen with the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they, you know, I think it's like you said. It's like it'll be weird if in a couple of years we're talking about the Wolves the same way we're talking about the Wild. But like... Yeah, you can't look at them going into the next season and, like, expect them to be that much better or that much worse. They'll probably, you know.
I think it is interesting maybe to do kind of the parallel between the Wolves and the Wild of Jimmy Butler is probably pretty similar to, like, level of NBA player that, like, Zach Parise and Ryan Suter were for NHL players, so.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this probably since we haven't done a podcast, like, several months, probably off mic, but about how, like, I'm more confident that Wiggins or Towns will become a superstar than I am Granlund and Coyle. Now, at the time, that might have been different. We were pretty excited about those.
Yeah,
guys.
We hadn't seen them, I guess.
Yeah.
They were still, they hadn't come over yet. And yeah, Towns, I mean, has already played at a pretty high level. But yeah, I mean, I have gotten to the point now more as a fan where, like, it is frustrating once you get to the playoffs and they lose every year. But, like, probably just because we've been in such a dead run of Minnesota sports teams, like, I can appreciate that at least the Wild get there.
Yeah,
like, it could be worse.
I think that's the other thing too, is like, if one of the four teams was to win a championship, I feel like at that point then one of the other teams just making the playoffs is just more fun, because
yeah,
it can just be like, oh, it's playoffs, like, you're not so like, we gotta win that trophy.
I think we were talking about this during the Stanley Cup finals, like, it just, it goes on for so long, and because, like, the Wild haven't come close, the Timberwolves haven't made it in so long, it's very hard for me to envision either of those teams playing that well for, like, 2 months.
It's so crazy.
Like, I can see, in my mind, the Vikings making a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You can see how that would happen. They almost have a couple times. And you could see the Twins getting hot for 2-3 weeks and making the World Series. But, like, it's just very hard to imagine, like, the Wilder Timberwolves playing well.
I remember, like, Game 3 of the Stanley Cup, watching that and being like, good God, the Wild made the playoffs, and it feels like they stopped playing, like, 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
Yeah. It's a long, winding road.
Do we have anything to say about the Minnesota Twins?
They're hanging in longer than I would have thought. I mean, they're 2.5 games out of the division at the All-Star break. I think a game out of the wild card. They've been helped by the fact that the American League isn't very good. But, yeah, I mean, they're doing just enough to hang in. They've had probably three or four different points where they've lost a few games in a row and I've thought, okay, they're coming back to earth, and then they start winning a little bit again. I think ultimately they're not going to be much better than a few games over 500, but that's probably enough, kind of like 2 years ago, to at least keep them in to the end. I think at this point, if you're them, you figure stay relevant past when the Vikings start training
camp. Yes.
Because it's like so many years for them, once the Vikings start up, you're just not hearing about the Twins for the rest of the season. If they can at least keep people's interest through that, even if they come up a few games short, I mean, given the expectations, that's a clear win for them this
year.
And it seems like, you know, they're level-headed enough with this new front office. They're not going to, like, trade their two best prospects for, like, a proven closer and screw up their future to win a couple
John Welsh.
The old Wilson Ramos for Madcap scenario.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
that hurts.
They should stay fun through the next, the second half of the year.
Yeah.
It was fun to see Miguel Sano hit some bombs in the home run.
I kind of want, like, the Home Run Derby to, like, be... Like, can we just be the podcast that gets super jacked about the Home Run Derby every year?
I did enjoy it. I hadn't watched it in a few years.
Really? Every round was super competitive?
It is nice when someone's not doing a three-hour-long duck impression for the entire telecast. You just hear, wah, 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 wah. I enjoyed that. You know what does not coincide well with baseball? Duck impressions. Having the Aflac duck on an entire baseball broadcast would not be pleasant, I found out.
Yeah, I mean...
Who would have thought?
Yeah. I have to say, that definitely did add to the enjoyment of the event. But it's fun. I like their new format. They hit some bombs.
I was thinking, I think when the Home Run Derby was here... Justin Morneau did it as a Rocky, and that was kind of the nostalgic thing. And I think they let, like, Brian Dozier in or something. Would have been a lot better if Sano would have come along 2 years earlier, so he could have done it.
The energy when that other Marlin was—he went on that streak where he hit like seven home runs in a row, and everyone was going nuts.
All-star athlete Justin Bour. Gotta say, never really had heard of Justin Bour before last year. And I'm a pretty big sports fan. But hey, he's an all-star.
That was weird looking at the all-star lineup. Like, I did used to follow baseball a lot more, but like I recognized a handful of dudes.
Yeah, that would be an interesting game to play. Take the all-star rosters and like what percentage of them would you recognize if you saw them walking down the street?
Very few.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like the sport where you see their faces the most often.
Yeah, probably second to basketball.
Yeah.
But yeah. They are wearing those hats.
Yeah, got some goofy ass hats.
We'll follow the Twins throughout the second half of the year. Vikings aren't really doing anything right now. Start training camp in a week or two. I guess, like we said, they've had the draft since our last podcast. Didn't have a first-round pick. They ended up with trading up to get Dalvin Cook, who probably will be behind Latavius Murray to start the year, but maybe can take over as the year goes on.
Latavius Murray.
You always picked him up in fantasy, and they were disappointed. But, I mean, Dalvin Cook.
Yards and no touchdowns.
Behind, like, the best offensive line in the league. You know who does not have the best offensive line in the league?
Your very own Minnesota Vikings.
I got to say, I was telling Tom this. Amazon has that show out where they follow the team during the season, that All or Nothing.
They did it
with the Rams this year.
Good show.
So, yeah, pretty good show. But they were featuring Aaron Donald. And so it was a game they played against the Panthers last year. And obviously Aaron Donald's really good, but it was like you see him just like charging into the backfield, tossing aside a lineman like a rag doll. And they're like, oh, he really shed that block from Mike Remmers there. It's like, sorry, the Vikings' big free agency acquisition, Mike Remmers. Great highlight there for the man who's going to fix the Vikings' offensive line. Yes,
the white knight to the Vikings' offensive line.
Along with old Riley Reiff. So,
false start, Riley Reiff.
It will be fun to have football back, though, even if there's a lot of false start, Riley.
I am just so excited to get football back. It's really crazy. I just decided that, you know, I like a lot of players who play for the Oakland Raiders. And so if the Vikings just suck, I'm just going to kind of like the Oakland Raiders this year. I don't care.
That's my problem with the Vikings. Like, I'm honestly, I'm okay with them just sucking. Like, do the Timberwolves of a couple years ago get, like, Sam Darnold or one of these good quarterbacks? But, like, I'm just concerned they're going to go 9-7 and they're going to sign Sam Bradford to, like, a four-year contract extension. I really don't want that to happen.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what do you think their mentality is? Because it definitely seemed like last year it was kind of like, let's try to get home field advantage in the Super Bowl. Do you think they have that expectation going into this year?
I don't know how they could. I mean, I don't know how there's any way you could look at their roster and think they're better than the Packers.
Right. I mean, I suppose it just depends on how nuts they are. But
they'll have to hope their the offensive line should be healthier just by virtue of that. It should be a little bit better. Defense should still be good. You look at their skill position. I mean, Dalvin Cook was fun to watch at Florida State. I hope that transfers to the NFL. They still don't have what I would call an ideal number one receiver. You know, we were talking about it. Do they have any players on offense that are going to start on your fantasy team except for maybe Kyle Rudolph if you're in a small enough league?
No. Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Stephon Diggs will be on your team, but are you going to want to start Stephon Diggs?
No, Stephon Diggs is the guy that you pick up, like, in week six when someone gets hurt. Like, I don't know who I don't know. I guess you probably draft their defense.
Yeah.
The defense is still going to be pretty awesome.
But you look at their skill position, guys. Maybe one of them will surprise us, I'm sure they're hoping to get something out of something would be better out of Laquon Treadwell. They got nothing last year, but
yeah. I'd say like if you were optimistic and, you know, think that Diggs could put together a whole season, he potentially could, but he's never proven to do that. A sure bet starter, probably Rudolph in a league that, you know, you need two tight ends starting or something.
I'm curious what we see out of Treadwell this year, because that was so strange last year, and I feel like that was something like, you know, Zimmer didn't like the pants he wore to the pregame meetings. Just something stupid like that, so he was just always in the doghouse. Because that didn't make any sense why they weren't at least, like, trying him out a little bit.
It was very frustrating because they didn't end up... It would have been one thing if they had kept Patterson, and maybe, you know, then you could maybe justify, like, oh, they decided to keep Patterson, or they just needed to give that time to Patterson, and he earned it. And,
yeah.
But the fact that they just, you know, didn't really even bother to try retaining Patterson after he had, like, a, you know, showed some upside last year, and then, you know, he had one catch and basically didn't play the whole year.
It was weird.
Like, what the hell were they doing?
Yeah, it'd be one thing if they had, like, a functional offense, but it was not a dynamic.
No, it's
just
going to
screw up the whole
thing. You know, people get excited about, Sam Bradford set the completion percentage record. It's like, okay, I mean,
it's
throwing screen passes.
Yeah,
so
every pass was parallel to the
offense. You know, I'm guessing if Peyton Manning only threw screen passes, he would have completed 80% of his passes, too, so...
Shout out to Peyton Manning hosting the ESPYs.
Yeah, it should be kind of fun tomorrow.
Listen to some stories, share a few laughs.
Yeah. It'll be good.
Does Eli Manning show up?
Oh, I hope so. I feel like Eli Manning will show up with Rob Riggle and things will get a little crazy.
Yeah. He'll definitely make an appearance. So do we have any predictions for the Vikings?
Oh, I thought you were going to say for the ESPYs.
Well, that too.
Who's going to win
best dressed
MLB team?
Over under one Brett Favre appearance.
Yeah.
For this season?
Or the ESPYs?
Oh, God. Bring on Brett Favre. I'm fine with that. Bring him off the farm.
50-year-old Brett Favre.
Let's try it.
Yeah, maybe he'll show up at the ESPYs. I don't know. The Vikings, right now, I would say... 7 or 8 wins.
Yeah, you can't go more than
team. I don't know.
You're not saying more than 9 wins. There's no way they get 10. I think 9 is being pretty generous. It feels like an 8-8 season to me.
Yeah, I think the optimist in me says this. I think that, you know, if you look at the way they played the first five games of the season, when the offensive line was playing a little bit better and the defense was like unstoppable, if they can get like slightly better production out of the O-line, and the defense plays near that level, I could see, you know, a scenario where they end up at 10-6.
Yeah, but they did have a lot of injuries. The other thing is, you know, who didn't get injured for the first time in his career is Sam Bradford. Now,
Case Keenum.
You know, I guess we would hope Teddy Bridgewater can keep making progress. He's doing some things again now. But yeah, speaking of that all or nothing with the LA Rams, a lot of Case Keenum highlights on that show. Doesn't make me real thrilled about the prospects of him coming in if Sam Bradford gets hurt. So.
Yeah, Bradford's, I think we know what we have with him at this point, but, you know, there's a little bit of, like, he had moments last year where he actually...
Vince, don't talk yourself into it.
I know.
He has no tricks up his sleeve. Like, we know exactly what he is.
I'm just trying to find something to...
I don't want you to be disappointed. For me,
it's like with him, because he's almost 30 at this point. And I know I just got done saying, like, appreciate the teams that can at least make the playoffs, but I would hate to see them get locked into a quarterback where, like, in the best case scenario, if he has a great team around him, everything's set up for him to succeed, or Alex Smith. And, like, the Chiefs aren't going to win a Super Bowl.
Alex Smith is a perfect comparison.
I would hate to see them get locked into, like, the best they can ever do is make the playoffs.
Yeah. It's rough.
But it will not be rough to have football back. It'll probably be, what, like, week 8 of the season the next time we do a podcast, so you'll know the answer to a lot of these questions. And
I pretty much had to forage pass through a mountain pass to get here. It's a pretty long drive. So
should we work on our Skype technology?
Maybe.
Google Hangouts, yeah, we'll figure something out. See if Google pay us to do these podcasts.
I gotta say, I'm excited. You know how much fun I had last year picking all those games? That was just a hoot.
It was. It was a hoot.
I want to get back to that. Bring on the damn football.
It'll be here before we know it. What's going on in Minnesota sports? That's what's going on in Invergrove Heights. Vince, get on Googling what Inver is. We'll have that answer when we come back and talk to you in November.
See you then.